Well, it sounds like you're going to be having a good time this Christmas. Sounds like you're going to be having some fun. I hope you are. Some of you may be having a more difficult, quieter Christmas. Others will be having a very exciting Christmas, seeing family perhaps, seeing friends hopefully, and coming here and celebrating Christmas together as the church family, because we're all part of this family, which is God's family here at Himley Road. Yes, we're going to be seeing things this Christmas. I'm going to read a little bit from Luke's Gospel, because today we often think about John the Baptist. So the reading we had with Elizabeth and Mary actually talks about John leaping in Elizabeth's womb when she meets Mary. She feels the baby quicken in her womb when she meets Mary, who has in her womb the Saviour of the world, Jesus. And later on, John the Baptist, who knows Jesus well and baptised Jesus and is Jesus' cousin, he starts to have questions. Because he's in prison, I think. Because he really doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And we do know. We do know that in the end, John the Baptist was beheaded in prison. And the disciples were summoned by John, and two of them were sent to the Lord to ask, are you one who's to come, or should we wait for another? See the doubt there? He has been sure. You know, he was there when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at the baptism. He knew, and yet he had doubts. And yet he had doubts. Is this the one, or are we to wait for another? Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he said to the men who asked him, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? And you can imagine the crowd there. No, we didn't do that. Jesus is having a bit of fun here, I think. What did you go out to see when you went to see John? Someone dressed in soft robes? No. We know he wasn't. He was dressed in camel hair, yeah? What did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing and living in luxury? No. If you want to see them, go to a royal palace, says Jesus. What did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one who's written, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. And then Jesus says, I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's quite confusing in a way. He's the greatest. He is the greatest, says Jesus. John the Baptist is the greatest man you'll meet. And yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What do we go to see when we go to these Christmas events? Do we come to see the Christmas tree? Do we come to see the Advent ring and the candles lit? What do we come to see? The songs that we've been singing have talked about holiness. Holy, holy, holy. What does it mean to encounter, to see holiness? What does it mean? Isaiah tries to grasp it in that reading we had from Isaiah. I'll just read a little bit again. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Grasping, to try to understand, what does it mean to see, to encounter God's glory? What does it mean? What does holiness look like? And Jesus is saying, John the Baptist, he's a great man. But if you want to see holiness, you have to look beyond to the things of heaven. It's not that John the Baptist doesn't himself see something of God. Of course he does. Like Moses. You remember Moses coming down the mountain? What happened to his face? It shone. When he came down from encountering God, Moses' face shone. Because he had seen the glory, the holiness of our God. How can it be that Jesus says of John, he's not, if you want, he's not holy enough to get into heaven? Are you holy enough to get into heaven? Am I holy enough to get into heaven? What do you think? Talk about me. No. No. So what makes the difference? What makes the difference? The difference is not made in a royal palace. It's not made even in the wilderness with John the Baptist. The difference is made in a stable. Strange. What makes the difference? What makes it possible to encounter the holiness and to become wrapped up in that holiness? Because that's what Jesus is. He's a human being who's wrapping holiness into our human condition. It never happened before. Never happened before. Even John the Baptist was not wrapping up the holiness into this earthly body, this earthly clay they used to talk about in some of the hymns in the old days. Somehow, you and me find a new holiness through Christ, and only through him, not through John the Baptist, not through Moses. And yes, Isaiah is looking forward, and he's trying to grapple with this. He's trying to understand, what does it mean? What does it mean to have a future that looks different from the future we can see now? I said to you, what do you want to see? What are you looking forward to seeing this Christmas? What would it look like to see the world, the whole world, transformed? The whole world transformed. Gosh, we need it. Look at the world around you. Look at the news today. Look at the pictures that we see. The world needs the Christ child. The world needs what happens in that stable. More than anything else, that is our hope. That is what transforms us. That holiness in that stable, in Christ our Savior, that changes everything. Because suddenly, even we can go into the holy place that we talk about as heaven. And it's not we who do it. It's God who does this. God comes among us in our need and meets us. What do you want to see? You might say to me, I want to see an end to the war in Ukraine. I want to see an end to the violence in Gaza and in Israel and in Syria and in Iran and Iraq. And I want to see an end to the violence on my streets, in my town, in my place. I want to see an end to people being mean about other people in the workplace, in the school place. I want to see an end to people going into Tesco's and being rude to the people on the cashier desk. I want to see an end to people being nasty to each other in church. No, it never happens in church, surely. What do I want to see? I want to see something new. Isaiah says, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. What's singing? It's good singing here, isn't it? I think it's become better in the last couple of weeks. Don't know why that might be. But it's been wonderful singing today. And when you sing holy, 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 when you sang that song, did you start to glimpse something? Did you start to feel something? Yeah, some of you are nodding your heads. That's how it can be. And we're not going to wait. We're not going to wait for the people of, well, I was going to say Gornal Wood, but I'm not sure where we're all from. But we're not going to wait. Yeah, you see, I knew there'd be a bit of debate about that. We're not going to wait until the people of our communities are ready for Christmas. We are going to be the Christmas people this year. And we're going to continue being the Christmas people every day. And yes, we might fail, we might fall short. In that song, Joy to the World, there was a verse about that kind of, you know, the facts that yeah, we our world, it's not a great world, is it, always? There's a lot around us that we don't like. A lot around us that God doesn't like. Joy to the world, not always, it seems. Peace on earth, goodwill towards all people, really. And what I'm saying to you today is this is the Christmas message. It's not for another world or another time, it's for now. It's for us, and we're going to live it. We're going to live the Christmas message, and sometimes we'll fall short. And if we fall short, and that can happen to people wearing a dog collar as well, just to warn you. When we get stuff wrong, not just wrong, when we do things wrong, we need to hold each other to account. And we need to bring Christ into the equation. And he will set us right again. And we'll start off again. And Christmas will come again. But we must not be lazy. Part of the Advent message is about not falling asleep. Now, I know when I preach sometimes I see people nodding off, and I understand that. It's a busy time of the year, isn't it? But actually, don't fall asleep. I'm not talking about me preaching now. Don't fall asleep to the Christmas message. Christ amongst us. Emmanuel, God with us. God transforming us. God making a new Gornal. A new creation. Here, now, in this place. Christ our Saviour is born among us. Christ our Saviour is transforming our hearts. And when we get it wrong, we don't need to turn to someone in a royal palace. We don't need to turn to our neighbours to sort it out. We actually need to turn to Christ first. And then things look different. Jesus, in the end, well, we know what happens in the end, don't we? The end of his human life is on a cross. Not shying away from what he has to do. Transforming us through his sacrifice. But it's not the end, because he's alive. Because you can't destroy our God of love. Love has the last word. And in our congregation, in our community, this is true. Love has the last word. Love came down at Christmas, we sing. Love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. star and angels show the sign. We show the signs of Christmas in our lives. So important. Don't put it on the Christmas tree. Don't put it on the candles. Don't put it on Santa Claus. Place your trust in the baby. That's a bit of a thing to do. Place your trust completely and utterly in the baby born in a stable, laid in a feeding trough. Put your trust there and see how he transforms all things. Behold, I make all things new. The darkness is not darkness with you, O God. The deepest night is clear as the day. Christ, the light of the world, has come into the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome that light. I'm going to read a little bit of a poem. And it's talking about seeing Jesus. And it's talking about us. And I'm going to read it kneeling down. I hope that's okay. I'm not trying to impress you, really. But I want to read it kneeling down because that's what the poem talks about. Okay. So, it's very short. And it goes like this. Blessed art thou, O Christmas Christ, that thy cradle was so low that shepherds, poorest and simplest of earthly folk, could yet kneel beside it and look level-eyed into the face of God.